The climate is changing. So are we. I'm Laura Lynch, and I host What on Earth? That's CBC's Climate Solutions podcast. Twice a week, we take you around the world to find the people who are trying to build a better future for all of us. We explore indigenous science, new technologies. We talk openly about mental health and climate anxiety. We also take your smart questions all the time. Come find What on Earth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Marcia Young. More than a third of the police officers suspended in Ontario over the past decade faced allegations of gender-based violence. CBC has been digging through the data. It shows paid police suspensions have cost Ontario taxpayers more than $135 million. But victims of intimate partner crimes say there is more to the problem than just money. Julie Ireton reports.
He wanted to harm me.
She's an Ontario police sergeant talking about her ex-husband, a constable. CBC has agreed not to reveal her name for her own protection. In 2019, there was a confrontation at home. He was arrested and suspended and eventually convicted of intercepting her private communications. Other charges were dropped. She stayed in policing, but she says she got little support.
No one came to me and said, okay, like, we've rallied the troops. This is what to expect. This is how you go back to work. None of that happened.
Her ex-husband is one of more than 400 officers across 44 Ontario police departments who've been suspended with pay over the past decade. More than a third of the allegations against those cops were for gender-based violence, including domestic abuse, sexual assault, and harassment. The numbers don't surprise Danielle McNabb. She's an assistant professor of criminal justice policy at Brock University in St. Catharines.
Police are disproportionately perpetrators of gender-based violence, particularly domestic violence. I do think that this really constitutes the tip of the iceberg. From what we know about the pervasive underreporting of gender-based violence.
The president of the Police Association of Ontario reviewed CBC's data showing the rates of police officers accused of gender-based violence. Mark Baxter says in those types of incidents, the union's role is to support everyone involved. Julie Ireton, CBC News, Ottawa.
The U.S. Senate passed a new military aid package. Senators last night approved the $95 billion in aid going to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. President Joe Biden has just signed the bill into law. The Senate also voted in favor of a bill that would ban the popular app TikTok in the U.S. The CBC's Richard Madden has more on that. And Richard, what can you tell us about this bill?
Yeah, few issues unite a divided Congress than taking on big tech. And in this case, we saw a rare showing of bipartisan support. The Senate passed a bill that will now force TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, that's owned by the Chinese government, 9 months to sell the app to a non-Chinese owner. If not, it would be banned from U.S. app stores or hosting companies. Now, U.S. lawmakers briefed by intelligence agencies have long warned the Chinese government could access TikTok's user data to spy on Americans or spread propaganda or disinformation. Now, TikTok is wildly popular. More than 170 million Americans use it for entertainment or as an income source. But FBI Director Christopher Wray is sounding the alarms. Take a listen.
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason I say that is that TikTok's parent company is beholden to the Chinese government.
Now, under this bill, the earliest a ban would start would be January next year, notably after November's election. TikTok will likely be a major force during the election campaign for candidates to reach younger voters, so delaying the ban may help politicians avoid the backlash.
This bill has been in the works for some time. What are we hearing from TikTok?
Yeah, they're preparing for a legal fight with plans to challenge it in court under the First Amendment. That's according to a staff memo from TikTok's American executives over the weekend. But under this bill, President Biden could extend the deadline by another 3 months, possibly longer, if a sale is underway, so it gives TikTok some time.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
The CBC's Richard Madden in Washington. Protesters have gathered outside the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. That is where the justices will hear arguments today in a case involving the state of Idaho and abortions. Idaho is one of several states that bans the procedure, with some exceptions. But a federal law requires hospitals to deliver emergency care. That includes abortions. Freelance reporter Tony Waterman has more from Texas.
When do we want it?
Freedom!
When do we want it?
Now!
Protests against abortion bans have become commonplace in America ever since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade nearly 2 years ago. That very court is now set to decide on a case that could limit abortion care during medical emergencies. At issue in Moyle versus United States is whether a federal law requiring hospitals to provide stabilizing treatment, including abortions in emergency situations, preempts Idaho law, which only allows abortions to save the life of the mother. Joseph Koza is an assistant teaching professor at Rice University.
The federal statute covers more than just death. So it's a big question around, you know, when can doctors intervene? Do they have to wait till the patient is on the brink of death, or can they intervene sooner?
Doctors in Idaho face up to 5 years in prison if convicted of performing an illegal abortion. The court's ruling is expected at the end of June, and the ramifications could be widespread. 14 states now ban the procedure, including Texas, where a court earlier this year ruled doctors don't need to perform emergency abortions. And there have been reports of pregnant women being turned away from emergency rooms. If the court rules in Idaho's favor, abortion access could become even more restricted, even in the most restrictive states. Tony Waterman for CBC News, Austin, Texas.
British police say they have arrested three people over the deaths of five migrants. They drowned trying to cross the English Channel yesterday. Their overcrowded boat had more than 100 people on board. Britain's National Crime Agency says it has taken three Sudanese men into custody. French police are still investigating the incident. Farmers from the state of Tamil Nadu, India, are holding protests as they demand better compensation for their crops. Some carry skulls and bones to symbolize the farmers who have died by suicide. They say the situation is dire. They want India's Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, to follow through on his past election promises. One was to double the price of their produce.
Nobody bothered about the farmers. During the election, we are the backbone of India. After the election, they think that we are the slaves of India.
This latest round of farmers' protests comes as millions of Indians head to the polls for the country's elections. Australian police say they have arrested seven teenagers in connection to a stabbing at a church. David Hudson is Deputy Commissioner of New South Wales Police.
We're talking 15, 16, 17-year-olds. The terrorism landscape and the radicalisation of youth online is a continuing problem for us.
He says the teens are accused of following an extremist ideology, and they are part of a network that includes the 16-year-old boy accused of stabbing a bishop in a Sydney church last week. Officials say the teens were considered an immediate threat, but investigators have found no evidence of specific targets for violent acts. Tesla's revenues have taken a big dive. The electric car giant released its quarterly results yesterday. Its earnings are down more than half over last year. Anis Hadari reports.
There's been a lot of talk about our upcoming vehicle line.
Elon Musk is telling Tesla investors expect new, more affordable models by 2025. Maybe even this year.
So it's not contingent on any new factory or massive new production line. It'll be made on our current production lines much more efficiently.
Announcements like that are part of why Tesla stock shot up on Tuesday night after the closing bell rang. Because certainly Tesla's actual results in the first quarter weren't anything to celebrate. Net income down 55% compared to last year.
Tesla is finally acting like a car company.
Auto industry analyst Sam Furani says even though Tesla lost more money than experts predicted, the stock price might be going up because the company now says new models are coming sooner.
Their Model S is well over 12 years old now. Tesla needs to have these changes.
Musk also talked up self-driving robocars that you can hire. kind of like hailing an Uber. But Fiorani says, realistically, that's years away.
There's a lot of stuff that Elon Musk has said that the company is focusing on in this period where there's not a lot to crow about on the automotive side.
That automotive side includes less demand for Tesla's electric vehicles, which may be why the company said yesterday it's cutting more than 6,000 jobs. And he's Hidari, CBC News, Calgary.
And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. News anytime at cbcnews.ca. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.